Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So tonight, this evening, we'll be reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 17, text 20 through 22. Datavyam yadanam diyate nupakarine deshe kale cha patre cha tadanam satvikam smritam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Charity given out of duty, without expectation of return, at the proper time and place, and to a worthy person, is considered to be in the mode of goodness. Purport. In the Vedic literature, charity given to a person engaged in spiritual activities is recommended. There is no recommendation for giving charity indiscriminately. Spiritual perfection is always a consideration. Therefore, charity is recommended to be given at a place of pilgrimage and at a lunar or solar eclipses, or at the end of the month, or to a qualified Brahmin or a Vaishnava devotee, or in temples. Such charities should be given without any consideration of return. Charity to the poor is sometimes given out of compassion. But if a poor man is not worth giving charity to, then there is no spiritual advancement. In other words, indiscriminate charity is not recommended in the Vedic literature. So I'd like to thank all the devotees at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir for allowing me to stay here for some time. I've heard a lot about this community, and I was aspiring for many years to come and visit. So thank you very much. Also thank you for the opportunity to engage in some service. I hope this will be a service to you, and I'm also purification for myself. Thank you. So, in the verses, selection of verses tonight, text 20, 21, and 22, Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna, is giving instructions to us regarding how to give proper charity to others so that we can make gradual progress in spiritual life. One sentence in this purport that really influenced me or was very strong for me was a statement Srila Prabhupada says here, that spiritual perfection is always a consideration. So this is a very important principle to understand, that actually in all of our dealings, this is what this 17th chapter is mostly about. Krishna is going over various topics such as penance and austerity, charity, austerity, sacrifice, foods, different types of foods to eat. And in the chapter of the three modes of material nature, he's also discussing the proper ways of action in the various modes. And the statement that spiritual perfection is always a consideration should be a very should be always in the forefront of our consciousness. Throughout the day, we find ourselves engaged in various activities, whether in the temple performing our sadhana, chanting the holy names, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, performing kirtan, or even outside in the world, if we're working a particular job in the world, everything that we do. How are we making spiritual, making progress towards spiritual perfection? What is the quality of this activity we're doing? Are we performing it attentively? Are we, like it says here, performing it out of duty? Are we expecting some return out of this? Are we thinking that if I give this charity, what am I going to get out of it? Or if I perform this kirtan, or if I'm asked to lead kirtan, or I'm asked to give a Bhagavad Gita class, what is my motivation behind doing this activity? This question of motivation in our activities is what making spiritual perfection our consideration is all about, is being discriminate in the sense of what is our motivation behind performing this activity. So, we find here in the next verse, it's explained charity performed in the mode of passion. And it says here that charity performed with the expectation of some return, or with a desire for fruitive results, or in a grudging mood, is said to be charity in the mode of passion. And charity in the mode of ignorance is performed at an improper place, at an improper time, to unworthy persons, and without proper attention and respect. That is said to be charity in the mode of ignorance. So, all of our activities that we perform, we should be introspective and seeing what is our motivation behind this activity. Even coming into devotional service, we come to devotional service under carrying with us previous mentalities, previous habits and behaviors. And oftentimes we can even take these same habits into our practice of devotional service. So we have to, in this way, be very attentive to what is our motivation. So, as it says here, that spiritual perfection should be our motivation. We should aspire to cultivate this mentality of pure devotional service, of simply wanting to serve Krishna, to serve the devotees, to glorify the Lord, to perform these activities simply for the pleasure of Krishna, simply to as service to the Vaishnavas. And if we have this pure devotional mentality, we cultivate this mentality, then we can enter into this spiritual life, real spiritual life. This is our aspiration. So I was thinking of this topic of charity, and it seems that this charity is a natural activity of a human being, in the sense that it doesn't matter what mode of nature you're in. It appears here that a person, despite what mode of nature they're in, still has some inclination to perform charity. They might not be aware of what they're doing. Like it says, a person in the mode of ignorance is giving charity without proper attention and without proper respect. So they might give something and not really know the purpose behind why they're doing it. It says that contributing to an individual's or a person's indulgence in intoxication or gambling are not encouraged, which means that we go out oftentimes in the city and we see that people come up and ask us, what, please give me something, please, can you give something to me? But we should be discriminate in the sense that is this contribution to this person going to help this individual? What is he going to use this donation for? If we give him some contribution and he uses that contribution to degrade himself in life, then this isn't actual true charity or benefit to this person. We're actually contributing towards his negative downfall in life. And a person here in the mode of passion is also giving some charity, but he is thinking of what he is going to get out of it. Oftentimes, people open, Srila Prabhupada explains, sometimes they open charitable institutions, different foundations, charity, trust, or they might open a hospital or some institution with the intention that their name will be put on the outside of that building. This is so-and-so's, so-and-so contributed this much money for this. And that's their motivation for their name or their fame. Or in a grudging mood. Sometimes we might be asked to do something or give some charity, but we do so in a mood of resentment, in a mood of not an enthusiastic or grateful mood, in a mood that, why couldn't they get someone else to do this? I have so many better things to do. Oftentimes, as devotees, we're asked by the Vaishnavas to perform some service for the Lord. And oftentimes we also have other things on our schedule, things that we would rather do according to what we think is more important, which in some cases for some devotees might be true. They might have prior engagement. But this is where this spiritual perfection we have to be honest and sincere in our devotional service and introspect and see what is our motivation. Are we considering if this is really something that I have to do, or am I coming up with an excuse because I would rather be the enjoyer and controller myself? Or would I, or am I trying to, or do I understand the goal of Krishna consciousness to develop this pure, humble, loving service attitude for the Lord and the devotees? And is this an opportunity for me to cultivate that mentality more? So this is what we're aspiring for. And we actually see that throughout many of these different topics of the Bhagavad Gita, discussing penance, austerity, the foods we eat, and even in devotional service, it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that devotional service can also be performed in four different ways. In mixed devotional service, well, two ways, mixed devotional service and pure devotional service. Mixed devotional service falls under the modes of nature, performing devotional service in a separatist mentality, and various other things Srila Prabhupada explains. But we want to aspire for this pure devotional service. And so we should be considerate of this in our activities. What is our motivation, trying to cultivate this pure motivation of humble, pure loving service. And we can pray always to the Lord to help us in this, to cultivate this mentality. Oftentimes there's not very much time in the time that we're given to make this decision. Oftentimes it's a very short period of time that we have to check this motivation and see what action should I perform in this situation. Someone comes up to us and immediately we need you to help right now, or someone approaches us. So we should have this spiritual perfection consideration in the forefront of our mentality at all times. As devotees, our charity, in a sense, is to help on behalf of the parampara of the Lord, of our spiritual master, to engage in giving this wonderful gift of pure devotional service, of pure love for Krishna, to others, to help the world, which is falling in this dark age of Kali Yuga, to share with them this wonderful gift of pure devotional service. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So this was reason for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we have just observed his Gaur Purnim festival. And so he came to this world as Krishna descends here to give this gift of love for God. And Srila Prabhupada, in the line of teachers, is carrying out this mission. And so we can become very sincere and take this mission within ourselves and take it very seriously to perfect our lives and surrender to the Lord. So thank you. That's all I'm going to speak tonight. I'm grateful again for this opportunity to speak. And if there's any questions or comments, I can we can discuss, or I can try to give some answer. Is there any questions about this? Yes. Okay, so this is a good question. So the question is about giving a donation to children starving in Africa, or just like there is a tsunami, right, in Haiti. So there are many relief efforts going out throughout the world to provide help to these situations and even impoverished people throughout the world. So so the question is, if giving charity to these people is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. So the answer simply to that is no. That charity given to situations like this are not in the mode of ignorance. Now, it depends in one sense. There's different things to consider. One is the place where you're giving the charity to. So the modes of nature are often not just cut and dry. That I perform an action and it's either in the mode of goodness or passion or ignorance. Oftentimes the modes are mixed much more deeply. You might give it to a proper place, so to say, or a proper institution. That might be a quality of the mode of goodness. But if you're giving it to that proper place, let's say with a desire, in a mood of pride, thinking that I am a great person for doing this, I am very proud, or if I give it to them, then they will put my name up here, then there's also the mode of passion mixed in with that charity. So ultimately, it's said that the mode of goodness is superior to the mode of passion, and the mode of passion is better than the mode of ignorance. And amongst the modes of nature, there's always a competition for supremacy. As devotees, we want to try to perform all of our activities in transcendental consciousness, which means to please Krishna without expectation of return. It's oftentimes very closely resembles the mode of goodness. So in our society, ISKCON society, we have a program called Food for Life. And Food for Life is designed to give devotees an opportunity to, and people in general, to contribute in a way that's transcendental. It's not only beneficial, it's not only in the mode of goodness, like it might be to give to, let's say, another food foundation. If you actually give to a foundation and they're giving some relief, and you're not expecting anything in return, and it actually goes in that way, then that might be in the mode of goodness to some degree. But if we want to give transcendental charity, then the Food for Life is distributing pure vegetarian meals, prasadam, food that's offered to the Lord and purified, and the people that receive that prasadam also develop spiritual, they make spiritual progress and become purified taking that food. If we give charity to an institution that's distributing non-prasadam, maybe even meat or things like that, then we become implicated to some degree in that activity. There's several different people who become implicated in the activity of sin in relationship to meat. The people who actually slaughter the animal, the people who serve it, the people who take the food, who eat it themselves. So even if a person is connected in some way to these acts, then still there is some karma that's accrued in that activity. The modes of nature, as Krishna says in the Gita, are very intricate and can be very difficult to understand. They become very detailed. So to go into an activity, there's many factors that are taken into account to see that. But the ISKCON society is designed that we can give charity to further people's spiritual development. This is really the ultimate, in a sense, charitable institution, is giving people an opportunity not to be entangled within this material world, to be brought up in this cycle of birth and death. There is this quote I remember growing up in the church, particular foundation giving charity, and they had a particular slogan. The slogan, although not vegetarian, it says, give a man a fish and they'll eat for a day. Teach him how to fish and they'll eat for a lifetime. I thought in a more Krishna conscious way we could say, give a person some vegetables and they'll eat for a day, or teach him how to grow vegetables and they can eat for a lifetime. That's a little better, I think. But the idea is that in devotional service, we're performing these devotional activities. We're going out and distributing Krishna consciousness to others, giving the holy name, giving prasadam, giving Srila Prabhupada's books to people, and giving them an opportunity to get out of this cycle of birth and death, how not to fall back into this cycle of starvation, this cycle of loss of shelter. These things must also be given, as Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir has given such a wonderful example to the world of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, of which is providing health care towards people that they can, in a spiritual way. They are distributing food to people in a spiritual way. I was just reading outside. They have a little poster out here, all the different programs that they have here. And they're all very nice, nicely dovetailed to help those people not only with their material dilemmas, such as food and shelter and these things, but also giving them spiritual benefit. And there's this example of the child who has left home, who's run away from home. This is, in a sense, our situation here in the material world, is that we're all, so to say, runaway, or we've left our father, we've left our mother. In the spiritual world, we've given up that shelter, and we're seeking this life on our own. We've told Krishna, you know, I want to come here and be out of my own, just like a child may be under the shelter of his parents growing up, and he might at some point become rebellious towards his family and run away from home. And so this child runs away from home, and on this journey away from home, he encounters various situations, various people, people who take him into their home, give him some shelter, give him some food, helping him on his journey. There's also people who approach him and try to give this child some good advice, that why you are acting in this way, why you have become disrespectful maybe to your parents, maybe there is some problem, and they try to guide him to go back to this situation where he can be happy. When the child is under the shelter of his parents, the food, they're giving him food, they're giving him shelter, they're giving him these wonderful things. So a person might take this child in to the home and give him a place to live, give him some prasadam to eat, some nice food, and at the same time give him some proper guidance, that why you are acting in this way, you have forgotten your real life, your happy life of love and service. So please, you should go back to that way of life. So this is what ISKCON is designed to do, is to give people this education, ultimately, that this is not our real home, to be in this material world, this place of birth and death, this place of starvation and lack of shelter, this material, temporary environment. But our real home is in the spiritual world, with God, in the kingdom of God, and that's where we will become truly happy. So, all these things we can give to people to help them in this way. Proper shelter, proper food, and ultimately the spiritual knowledge, which will give them the opportunity to get out of this situation altogether. And if we can contribute to this cause, whether financially or not everyone is in that status of life, as there's different statuses of life for brahmacharis, different grihastas. According to our varna, according to our ashram and our situation in life, we contribute to in different ways. A brahmachari might not have so much financial funds or that they can give in that way. But a brahmachari is there to give their life, to give their time and their, to be a menial servant for their spiritual master, for their temple, for the authorities that they are serving under, and doing whatever they can to help contribute in that way. As a grihastha, he might work outside and might not be in the temple all the time. And so in the time he does have, depending on his situation, some grihasthas work outside working a job and they make a particular, they have a particular income and they can contribute a percentage of that to help further the Krishna consciousness movement, helping the people. Other grihasthas might have a situation worked out with the temple where they don't, where they provide all their time and service to the temple also, and the temple provides place for them. There's around the world, there's different situations. So depending on the situation, we can contribute in different ways to this movement. Yes. Yeah.
Why did Jesus Christ give fish to
Okay, so this is another good question, is that why did Lord Jesus Christ give fish to people? So there's a lot of different answers for this question and different ways to answer this question. And in relation to just studying other religions, other scriptures and these things, before I give my answer from what I understand about it, I just want to bring in the principle of understanding, receiving knowledge through a disciplic succession or a line of authorized teachers, which even when it comes to questions with the Bhagavad Gita, questions in the Vedic scriptures even, oftentimes people come across contradictions in different scriptures, even the Bible and other ones, and so oftentimes questions come up. And so a very important aspect to take into account when wanting to come to a conclusion over these different controversial topics sometime is that we want to see where we receive this knowledge from. So ultimately, to receive knowledge from a pure devotee, we can understand the proper import of the teachings of the Vedas and various scriptures of the world. So in this question in particular with fish, answers that I've heard from devotees and various people are that some devotees I've seen have taken the route of translation, and they've gone into the Greek, say, of the New Testament and things like this, and gone into the actual Greek words and seen the translations of these words. There's other places that discuss meat and stuff like this, and they've gone into these the Greek language and seen, well, what was the actual word, even in relation to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill is often brought up, and some devotees have gone into the Hebrew and seen that the word is actually not, doesn't mean kill, but it, or they say that it, they translate it as murder, but the actual word means kill. It's not, there's a different word for murder. And oftentimes in the New Testament there's certain words that might just mean food that were translated in different ways. So some devotees I've heard understand it in that way. So when we go back and we understand what took place, what Jesus was doing, what he was speaking and giving at that time, there's a lot of different angles to see this from. Another angle I've heard is that is that in some situations where other kinds of food might not be available, permission's been given to subsist on certain things other than vegetables. Srila Prabhupada was in a famous conversation with this cardinal, Danielu, and they were discussing cows and cow slaughter and the importance of vegetarianism. And the cardinal was bringing up the point that cows can be used for food. Srila Prabhupada was saying, no, when there's so much other food given in the form of vegetables, fruits, sugar, these kind of things, what is the need for meat? Also understanding that perspective, perhaps there was a requirement at that time for him to do that. Another angle of it is that Jesus oftentimes performed miracles. He gave fish, if that's what he gave. He walked on water, performed these activities. As a devotee of the Lord, his purpose behind these activities was not to necessarily exhibit some yogic mystical powers of siddhis. As we know, there's different mystical perfections and powers that a person can perform. But if a devotee is empowered by the Lord to perform some particular type of activity, his idea behind that activity is actually to attract people to the message that he's speaking, which is to completely surrender to the Lord. Krishna comes, God gives the instruction, surrender to me. And the devotee is teaching to surrender to God. How to surrender to Krishna, how to surrender to the Lord. And so, Lord Jesus performed many activities. But according to time, place, and circumstance, he acted in a particular way at that time, which might be hard for us to understand and see at this time. But we should, so to say, look closer at the essence of his message, of the essence of what he came to give and teach. And Prabhupada said that he was our guru, our spiritual master, for what he was teaching. So a lot of these more subtle details of his life can often be hard to come to a solid conclusion and understanding about from our relative perspective. But we can understand from the acharyas and the spiritual masters what his real purpose of the appearance was. Does that answer help a little bit? Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.